Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
The Learning Connection is brought to you by the Weinberg Academy. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for the Learning Connection, brought to you by the Weinberg Academy, provider of individualized educational services to children with learning differences. Your hosts, Dr. Cindy Sandler and Brian Kaplan, discuss a wide range of educational topics such as reading, attention deficit, and organizational skills, to name just a few. If you would like answers to your educational questions, call 410-922-6680.
I believe the children are our future.
And welcome to the Learning Connection. This is Dr. Cindy Ward Sandler, and I gave Brian the night off. And, you know, so he can relax. Actually, his wife is out of town, so he's not relaxing at all. He's taking care of the family. But we have Ida Zelaya back, who was here 2 weeks ago, where we talked about sensory integration and what that actually means. And Ida, if you remember when we spoke last time, is a parent of a child with some sensory issues, and she has also developed a support program. I think that's the best way to say it, isn't it, Ida?
A support group for parents and educators who have questions about children with sensory concerns. I also have a company that I just started called Sensory Street, which goes out and reaches out to parent-teacher organizations as well as schools. And I share with them some of the things we're going to be sharing today.
That's right. And actually, the topic today is self-regulation. And I must say, this is one of my favorite topics because I think it is so incredibly important. I've worked with a number of children over the years who have what we call self-regulation weaknesses. And when we think of that term, self-regulation, what it actually means is how a person regulates their volume of their voice, their movements, the pace with which they work. You know, some kids rush through their work. Other kids are real pokey. Kids who have trouble getting out of the house on time in the morning. Regulation is such an important skill, life skill. And we are extremely fortunate to have two leaders in the whole area of self-regulation on air with us tonight, straight from
New Mexico.
That's right. And so we have Sherry Schellenberger and Mary Sue Williams. Are you there?
Yes, we are.
See, there they are. How about that? Modern technology at its best from New Mexico. And I would bet it's a nicer day there than it is here in the Baltimore area. What's your weather like in New Mexico today?
Yes. Well, we're fortunate enough that it's just about 78 degrees and sunny here. So, I don't mean to say that to be rubbing it in any way, because I have no idea what your weather is there.
Cold and rainy.
Yeah. Sorry.
Unseasonably cold, actually, for Maryland at this time. But we're thrilled it's beautiful in New Mexico. And actually, next show, we're going to do it from New Mexico.
Oh, that's a good plan. Great idea.
And I'm sure the station will just send us there in a heartbeat. did you hear that, Steve? We're going to New Mexico, yeah.
We are going to New Mexico.
He's psyched. Steve is our producer.
Good.
So what we'd like to do, I want to jump right into the topic, and I introduced it in terms of, you know, how I think of self-regulation. But when you all describe self-regulation, and you have a lot of materials that we also want to talk about so parents and teachers can get them sent to them, because they're extraordinary, and I've recommended them so many times to parents. How would you describe self-regulation, and what kinds of kids do you feel need this kind of support from their parents or teachers?
Well, we are both occupational therapists, so we kind of come from that background for any folks that are listening that have worked with other occupational therapists before. So we have more of a sensory motor perspective that I know you guys referred to, that you talked about 2 weeks ago there, learning about sensory integration and how that supports us to do what we want to do in life the way that we want to do it. So in terms of self-regulation from our perspective, and this is just a definition from one of our books, the Leader's Guidebook, which is kind of a 12-step program with activities, and that many therapists around the country, we're fortunate enough, and actually around the world, use to help to communicate to children about self-regulation. But we define it as the ability to attain, maintain, and change your level of alertness appropriately for a task or a situation. And then in the alert program, we use an engine analogy to explain to children that if your body's like a car engine, sometimes it runs on high, and sometimes it runs on low, and sometimes it runs just right. And the interesting thing, as you were saying, Cindy, about self-regulation is it's huge in terms of how we function in the world, because all of us need the ability to change how alert we feel. When we're feeling that our engine's on high, we might be hyper or wild or amped up or whatever our description of that feeling is in our bodies. When our engines are on low, we may feel lethargic, like a couch potato, or not really being able to focus and concentrate and attend the way that we'd want to. And what you described about how important it is for function in life in terms of children doing daily activities, it's really true. You need to be able to change how alert you are and self-regulate throughout your day. Simple things like getting up in the morning and getting dressed and getting ready on time that you described, mm-hmm. that involves us being able to self-regulate. When we do things that we're really used to doing, we mean a whole different way of regulating than when we're doing something that's challenging for us. And especially for lots of the folks listening, when we want to help children to demonstrate their knowledge or show us their strengths, we certainly need the ability to self-regulate. I mean, in order to be able to do that, to demonstrate knowledge, to perform activities of daily living in our professional jargon, which is just doing life in a way that fits for you.
And, you know, you described it really well. And very often before I test a child, I'll go into the classroom and I'll just observe and I'll watch how does the child just handle listening to the teacher give instructions, handle seat work, you know, where they work independently. And very often what you're describing is I will see children, some children who are laying down on their arm, like their head is on their arm and they're slouched over. And then I'll see other kids who are in constant motion. You know, they have to stand up, they sit down, they rock in their chair. I see kids falling off their chairs a lot, you know, and it's just like they kind of when they're on the floor, they kind of look like, how did I get here? You know, and that to give, you know, our listeners some examples of what we're talking about with self-regulation. Clearly, all of us are some days tired or some days we have a lot of energy, but we're talking beyond that. We're talking about kind of a regular pattern of child or adult, of course, but we focus on children on the show, who has difficulty routinely handling some of the very things that you were talking about. And I want to jump right into your alert program because I think this is, you know, here I am. This is the program that parents and teachers really need to be aware of, whether you're an occupational therapist or not. So can you talk a little bit about your ALERT program?
Sure. Well, Mary Sue originally developed the work of the ALERT program in what you described in terms of the occupational therapy frame of mind for a child in a private clinic who was ready to be discharged. She was age level in her motor skills, in her visual motor skills, in lots of different things. But what Mary Sue was noticing is that she didn't seem to understand when her self-regulation problems made it difficult for her to function well in life. So she didn't seem to understand that socially, maybe it didn't seem very engaging. You know, when you go to recess and you maybe are told, okay, I'm going to ask a friend to play. If you ask a friend to play in a voice like this and your body language is droopy and you don't look at all excited or engaged, that's a whole different level than when you say, hey, I'm going to play this. Do you want to play this with me? And those are the pieces that so many of our kids don't know. When you described about children falling on the floor and then kind of looking like they didn't even know how they got there, that's exactly what Mary Sue was seeing. Is here was a child who was bright and capable and had good skills, and yet she didn't really understand how she came off in the world very well. And so by teaching her the engine analogy and trying to explain that we all do this thing called self-regulation, some of us do it really automatically, And lots of us don't. And especially some of our students who have some special needs don't do it as automatically as the rest of us. And so then we're kind of puzzled. We're left thinking, well, why don't they just do this and get ready to take their test from school? If they go out to recess and they play and they're having a good time and their engine's in high gear and then they come in and it's time to take a test, it's a really different way that your body needs to be ready to take the test and demonstrate your knowledge than it is when you were out at recess and running around and yelling and interacting with folks. And so those are the kinds of things that we wanted to communicate to children. And I think Mary Sue's words and the engine analogy give them a vocabulary to try to start to tell us what it feels like in their bodies in these different situations.
One of the things when I recommend the analogy of the car to parents, I also recommend that they take the child in a car and they say, okay, now we're driving through the neighborhood, and they teach them about mile per hour signs and we're going 35. You see how that feels in the car? And then take them to what we call the Beltway here, where I think the speed limit's 55.
It should be 55.
And then there's another road where it's 65. And have the child feel how the car feels different going fast versus slow. And I also often recommend that they say, you know, when kids are zipping around and colliding into the kitchen and into each other, to say, this is a 35-mile-an-hour zone. You know? So I've taken your analogy and I've just really run with it. So I appreciate that you created it. We're going to take a break in a few minutes, but I want to say what our the number is so people can call in. This is such an opportunity to have two experts in the field, plus a parent, Ida, who is not only an expert with her child and just has a good sense of what some of these issues are about. But also, Ida didn't mention what her website is, which is, did you? SensoryStreet.com?
Oh, I didn't mention it, but thanks for mentioning
it. Yes, which I think is really cute.
Thank you.
Okay, so the phone number where people can call in is 410-WCBM-680, and that translates into the numbers of 410-922-6680. And when we come back, if Sherry and Mary Sue, you can come up with one example that we can talk about just specifically, you know, like a child and what a parent might do to help them. And when we're going into the commercial, we're going to be playing a song from your CD, your alert regulation CD. So if parents hear something as we move into the commercial and then come back, it's actually from the alert program. And this is the Learning Connection brought to you by the Weinberg Academy. Stay tuned.
Five ways, you got five ways to maximize your days. Mouth, move, touch, look, listen, and find your way. In your mouth there's much to do. Bite, crunch, lick, blow, chew. Engine changers can be dicey if you like it sweet or sour or spicy. Five ways, we got five ways to maximize your days.
This is WCBM.
So, we're on vacation in the Buick when the kids see a billboard for a mystery place where water runs uphill and hot dogs run $8 a piece. Hey, I was a sucker too for that 3,000-mile oil change myth until my Buick dealer clued me in. See, most newer Buicks, like mine, have an oil life monitor that tells when it's time for a change. With OnStar, I can subscribe and get a diagnostic report via email, and I always check my owner's manual for a complete maintenance schedule. When it's the right time for me, I choose the Buick experts down the Goodrich service lane.
Can't stop thinking about it.
I got an oil change, tire rotation, and a Goodrich multi-point vehicle inspection. These guys know more about my Buick than anyone. And for me, that's the best deal of all.
See your Buick Goodrich dealer today or log on to Goodrich.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Goodrich and go. We're keeping it simple.
Hi, Frank Luber here. There's no maybe about it. Get that home improvement project done right now because Tim Munson has extended his offer. For every $100 of your project, AES Builder and Home Improvements will give you 1 gallon of gasoline plus a special WCBM discount. Tim's been serving Maryland homeowners for over 18 years, and AES has received the prestigious MICO Award for the best addition built in Maryland and the Torch Award from the Better Business Bureau for outstanding ethics. Here's Tim.
Whether we're doing your sunroom, addition, vinyl siding, replacement windows, beautiful bathroom, or custom kitchen remodeling, I have a motto we follow. When we are done, you'll be happy. If you're not happy, then we're not done. It's that simple, and I stand behind it.
And he really does stand behind it, too. Catch spring fever at AES and save on your energy and fuel costs. Visit aeshome.us or call 1-800-787-7283. 1-800-787-SAVE. Financing available. MHIC number 37105.
The Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills, across the street from the mall and restaurant park, is the ideal location for your out-of-town guest or for that weekend getaway. The Hilton Garden Inn has 160 well-appointed rooms, including 20 luxurious suites. The inn has an exercise room, 24-hour pantry, indoor pool and whirlpool, breakfast buffet, and plenty of free parking. Each room has a microwave and refrigerator. Call the Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills, 410-654-0030. That's 410-654-0030.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now, more of the Learning Connection on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
On the move or on the go, no matter how fast or slow, front, back, circles, up or down.
And that music you hear is directly from the Test Drive Alert Program CD. And what it speaks about, and it certainly has a catchy tune, and I wish I could, we were just moving and grooving to that. Love it. What it speaks to is the different ways we take in information and have to modulate it. We have to regulate it. And Ida wanted to say a few things about that because she's very experienced with it.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I just wanted to mention that, first of all, you could find all of this information at www.alertprogram.com. You could get the CD and the test drive book there. But what I found very interesting was the analogy of the car. And in some of their books, they actually expand on different analogies in case kids can't understand the car analogy. One of them I found very fun was with Winnie the Pooh. I actually live with a Tigger, which is the high energy. Then we have Eeyore, which is low energy.
Right.
And then Pooh is just right. How's that, Sherry?
That's wonderful.
Like that, Mary Sue?
That's wonderful.
Well, other analogies to help, especially the little ones, the high Tigger folks could, you know, you could use colors like red or sounds like woo or cheetahs or jet planes or raptors, anything that's high energy, to describe the high kids. And the low ones are, of course, Eeyore. Then you've got maybe another color like yellow or a sound like ugh or a turtle, which is slow, or a submarine. You know, so kids can actually relate on different levels to their energy based on these analogies. I do know that in my house with our Tigger, we use a lot of different alert program techniques of the five ways, mouth, move, touch, look, and listen. And most of them revolve around move, which is very important in my house, moving. And we use heavy work. We use our weighted gecko. We like to squish under pillows and other ways to regulate ourselves in order to listen, do homework, etc. So one of the things that I wanted, Sherry, for you to help us with, and Mary Sue, are some examples of these Tigger and Eeyore and Poohs and how to use your five ways to regulate these kids.
Sure. I'd be happy to explain a little bit more on that. As we heard from the song, that there are five ways that we teach children about how to change how alert they feel, something in the mouth, move, touch, look, and listen. And I'll give you an example in the move category. We emphasize in the alert program heavy work to muscles and joints. Excuse me. And that's because we have a little motto, when in doubt, do heavy work. The wonderful thing about heavy work and how the brain works is that when engines are in high, if you give a child heavy work activities, it'll help them to get to just right. And if the child's engine's in low and you give them a heavy work activity, it'll help them to get to just right. So this is a wonderful thing. It's very common. We'll hear a teacher say, you know, the kids come in from recess and their engines are in high and the teacher's engine's in low, maybe after
after lunch, and what do? Well, we say, when in doubt, do heavy work. So, for example, let's think about a parent at home. Maybe the child, this could be a young child or older elementary child, but let's say the child comes home and they need a little help before homework time. If they've had a long bus ride or it's just been a long day or they've had trouble with self-regulation, a way to get heavy work, and heavy work, I'll just give you the overview, is pushing, pulling, tugging, towing, carrying something heavy. So those are kind of our categories. So you might just have children take the cushions from your living room sofa, put them in a pile on the floor, and then the child can crawl over them, crawl under them, stacking them. For little ones, just moving those pillows are going to be a lot of heavy work. What children could do is crawl under the pillows, and you as the adult give a little resistance, kind of lean on the pillows to be able to have them to get that kind of heavy work. You can make an obstacle course in your living room. And then some children like to do their homework with that kind of heavy work. So maybe they have an obstacle course, they're crawling in and over the living room sofa cushions, and then they go over and they do a few of their math problems or a few of their spelling words. Then they come back and they get their heavy work again. For young children, we suggest waiting children's, maybe they're playing with a baby stroller or they have a pretend grocery cart or a wagon. You can weight them down just maybe with some Ziploc bags of rice or beans or gallon jugs with filled with rice or beans. Weight them down, and then as they're moving, they're going to get heavy work. In the same way, you can have maybe a stuffed animal of a young child. They love to have a teddy bear. Take some of that stuffing out, put a Ziploc bag with rice in it, sew it back up a little bit. Then every time they're carrying their stuffed animal, they're getting a little bit of heavy work to their muscles and joints. So those are just the really simple, practical ideas that we talk about in the products and our books. And what's very important to us is that we give this theory away, that we have parents and teachers and therapists really knowing the reasons behind what we do and why we do it, and then they become detectives, as we say, with the children to figure out what kind of heavy work works when, how much heavy work does a child need, what might they need in their mouth, move, touch, look, or listen, or the other categories.
And I agree so much with you. It's a matter of experimenting what works with your particular child.
Yes.
And what might work for 6 months may need to be adjusted, after that. And this is very frustrating for parents. It's like they find something that works for a while, and then it's like they call me and say, okay, it's not working anymore. What do I do? Well, okay, let's try something else. But, when you get in the right arena of heavy work or, something in their mouth, which I want to talk about next, it's really helpful. I also just want to bring in for our listeners, very often on the show, I talk about the frontal lobe, which is the part of the brain that's primarily responsible for self-regulation. So just for our regular listeners, when you're hearing about self-regulation, this is what that frontal lobe is supposed to be doing, telling the body and the child how much they should be putting forth or how to handle all this information. So not only are these techniques helping in the moment, but they're also training that frontal lobe to do what it's supposed to do. So it's not just a support at the moment. It really is an intervention, and that's key. Now, with the whole mouth, talk about that a little bit more, because there are certain kids who really respond much better when they're drinking water or they're eating something.
Yeah, and I think that the mouth is the category that I think strikes the most fear in people's hearts about what shall I do and how shall I do it. And are we going to just say, especially to our teachers, are we going to say, oh my gosh, in order to get kids through the day, we're going to have to offer some large buffet? That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is how we get, as Mary Sue talked about, heavy work to the muscles and joints. And when we think of the mouth, sucking and moving the muscles of the mouth, when you said, sucking on some water, sipping it up through a straw, that kind of a thing, that's heavy work to the mouth. Chewing gum, when we use the joints in our jaw that work when we're chewing on things, then that's heavy work in the mouth. And what we know for sure about the mouth, the way the brain responds to things in and around the mouth, is that when we suck on things, especially, this is the one I think that's so helpful for our families, is that when we suck on things, it helps the brain to organize. It just has a nice effect at pulling information together. And I know that seems odd, but that really is how it works out. And the great thing about this is that then when we have kids who struggle with a transition in their day, that they can't get it together to get their things together in order to get in the car to get to the soccer and get the right things, the backpack and the things that they need to do that or whatever. Those are the times where we really want to look at how do we support that body, whether we do it before we ask them to go and get their things and get in the car, or whether we do it while they're getting their things and getting ready to get in the car. But those are the kind of things that seem to help to just make life a lot easier for everybody. And if we can add extra organization to that brain and nervous system to support them to be able to do those things, then that's what we'd be looking for when we think about the mouth.
It was interesting. I ran into a teacher the other night who works, who teaches one of the students that I had recently tested, who was going to be taking a huge test coming up. That in Maryland, you have to pass in order to get your high school diploma.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And so the teacher had read an article, a study to her group of students, saying that by sucking on peppermint candies, it helps the brain because it's the peppermint piece. But I also knew it was the sucking piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, you know, I liked your buffet idea, actually. but, you know.
Poor teachers are not funded for what they're already doing. Now we'd add a whole nother level, right?
That's right.
A very practical idea, though. You know, as we say, it's not going to be the buffet probably in the classroom, but something as simple as a plastic flexible straw. That is a perfect item to have in a classroom where kids can put it in their mouth. They can sort of chew on it. The flexible straw part can also become a fidget, and it's a very simple thing. It's not like gum. It doesn't stick to the floor and get messy,
right,
and that kind of thing. So just having a straw, and we just want to remind all of us, we all have engines. Some of our engines go a little higher. Some go a little lower than others. But we all have engines, so all of us are doing things in around the mouth. We put a pen to our mouth when we're thinking. We might put our fingers or our cuticle to our mouth when we're focused, and we don't notice those things sometimes, but children just do it a little bit bigger and louder and stronger, and then we call it a behavior problem.
Right. I want to comment on that, and then we have Alan on the line with a question for you, but if you think, basically there's nothing new under the sun. When you think about back in the day when some of us were in school and people didn't know about what self-regulation was even about, remember all the kids who used to chew on pen caps?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or click the pen, you know.
And those big ones that you would suck on it and stick it on your tongue. It was a little...
yes, the blue.
The blue tongue.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, those are our kids who really needed you. But that was probably when you guys were going to school. Okay, we have Alan on the line. Alan, you have a question?
I did. Well, you know with those big pens, if you take the filler out and blow in it, that little hole in the side made a whistling sound.
Oh, you are one of those, huh?
Oh, welcome.
Well, yeah, I had a question. You know, you mentioned I'm rocking back and forth, and I like the rocking chairs, and I still sort of do that. But, you know, Hasidic Jews call it chuckling, and they do it as part of learning.
That's
true. So there is the idea that if you keep things moving, not sort of stagnate or obsess on something, it actually helps in learning. So where do you draw the line between maybe a sensory integration problem and sort of the Hasidic tradition, which is to rock back and forth when they study the Talmud?
Well, I'll comment on that. Why you see that and why you've seen that over years and years that go way beyond our lifetime, for sure,
right?
Is because when people are kind of left to their own style of learning, we as human beings naturally do what our body needs. And when you talk about movement, the rocking, the back and the forth, you know, the clicking of the pen, whatever it may be, those things, just as Mary Sue and Sherry have been saying, and, you know, I talk about in terms of the brain, are what the brain and the body need to organize our information. Sometimes we call them purposeful distractors, where if we're focusing on movement, we're focused on that and we're focused on what we're reading or studying, where if we take that movement away, then we're distracted by all the thoughts in our head and what's going on around us.
That's correct. In fact, I study very well with three radios going.
See, oh, my. I hope you're tuning into the Learning Connection when you're doing that.
I don't normally do it, but I have done it. I usually have one radio going, a talk show generally at all times. And I find I was an IR student. I mean, I did great. I could study for 5 and 6 and 8 hours at a time, and it doesn't bother me at all. And someone else walks in the room and said, well, how can you pay attention when you're doing nothing but listening to the radio? But listening to the radio keeps me focused.
Right. You're exactly right. So the issue is when we have a kid in the classroom who's moving back and forth or standing up while they're doing their work, mm-hmm. we can't look at that as a behavior problem. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed the schools are getting more flexible in allowing kids to do that.
If you see a Talmud class, they're all doing it.
They're all doing it. Absolutely.
So it's just really a technique in keeping things moving and absorbing learning.
Right.
Like walking down the street and realizing that what the teacher was talking about an hour earlier, you finally get because you're busy walking down the street.
You right. got it.
That's the thing. You keep moving and you don't sit and sort of stare at one word on the page, and it helps in absorbing what's going on, and that's why I think it's a Jewish tradition to do that. And I was just wondering, when do you think it becomes a problem? Is it part of a pattern of a whole lot of other things?
Yeah, I think that's what happens. You know, it's a combination of that behavior among other behaviors, but again, it could be a problem in the classroom, but it may be exactly what the child needs.
Yeah.
And so I think the tricky part is we always want to come back to function. Is it functional for that person? For you, Alan, you said you can have 3 radio stations going, but you're actually working accurately, and that's the piece we want to look at. So why would we say to you, Alan, you have to turn off all those radios and pay attention the way we think paying attention means, when you're actually performing and doing your work? Or why would we stop folks from rocking in their chair as they're reading, if it's working for them? And that's the piece we kind of have to get over ourselves a little bit here in our
culture. I only had 3 radios going, actually 2 radios and the TV going at one time. I only did it once. But I generally do have, in college I had it, you know, there's a local rock station going, and now I have a talk show going 24 hours a day for jazz or something, and I concentrate just fine.
And actually,
and that's the piece we want to come back to. And that's, I think, Cindy, I'm sure in your work too, is when families have questions of what does this mean, it isn't necessarily so important to know all the time what it means, because we're learning more and more about the brain and how we all function. But what we definitely know is that it's a kind of an old wives' tale to say that we can sit absolutely still and pay attention. We all do little things to keep, ourselves together, to keep learning or doing the task that we're doing. So we have to get over that piece, and we have to come back and look at, did the person be able to do what they wanted to do in that moment? Were they able to keep reading and absorbing information? A good strategy for them.
Has it been focused down to right brain or left brain, or does that not matter at all?
Well,
right brain deficit at all?
It's not necessarily right or left. It's more that frontal lobe, which is separate from the right or the left. But also, you know, when I sit in parent meetings and I talk about the results of the testing, if I have a child, let's talk about teenagers who have attentional issues and that type of thing, I often recommend that they listen to music while they're doing their homework. Mm-hmm. And parents will say to me, did they pay you to say that? I said, no, not at all. But what it is, it's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, you know, with the talk to, and I listen to WCBM all the time, it is generally so interesting. It's like a classroom conversation 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And I could sort of read something and then sort of have it in the background, and suddenly somebody will say something, and I'll sort of zone out from what I'm reading and pay attention to what's being on the radio, and then sort of zone out from that and go back to what I'm working on. And it's sort of a back-and-forth thing, but there's
That's
no
it.
Question that hearing stimulating conversation, and talk radio is pretty much that, going on at all times, and sometimes music, but right now talk radio does it, is it really helps in absorbing everything that's going on. Because if I pay attention to one thing, I'm paying attention to all things.
Well, actually, you're focused on a limited amount, which is really even better than all things. So all things that are in front of you, yeah.
Focusing down on one thing.
Yeah.
I can focus down on anything I choose.
Right.
And it really does help to have something else going on.
Yeah, and thanks so much for your call, Alan, and you are right on about it. And again, to encourage parents and teachers to allow children and students to be able to move around in the classroom more. Also, I've had some teachers who are willing to let kids wear headphones during their independent work time and listen to music or listen to something while they're doing their work.
Yeah, and some of the things that teenagers can do because they don't want to be visibly different. They can wear tight-fitting clothes underneath their normal clothes. And we're lucky in Baltimore to have the hub of Under Armour.
Mm. Oh, wonderful. Right? It's based there in Baltimore.
Yes,
they're based
yes.
in Baltimore, right here in Baltimore. And with Under Armour, it gives the deep pressure that kids need to focus, and which I would call your heavy work.
Absolutely.
And with Under Armour, they come in sleeveless, long sleeves, short sleeves, and they breathe. So the kids don't feel hot and uncomfortable, and yet they stay more focused. Mm-hmm. I suggest that to sensory kids, autistic kids, grown-ups, you name it. And I hope someone from Under Armour is listening because they'll be very pleased to know they have a very neat hidden market.
That's right. Also, I think one of the best inventions were tagless undershirts.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Doesn't that just save so many kids? You know, I remember cutting the tags out of my own shirts as well as other, as my children. So little things like that have made a significant difference. We're going to take a break in a little bit. Did you want to say anything else before we take a break?
Well, let's see. I think, like you said, Alan has such a good idea there, and I spoke to the piece of function that we want to come back to function. So in our classrooms, we have a lot more of a way that we have to respect other people's ability to function while we're doing our own sensory motor strategies. But in the home, we have so much more freedom, and we see that a lot. And I think that when you talked about adolescents especially, all of these sensory strategies, intensity is what adolescence is about. They want to do things big, long, strong, loud, hard. And what may fit when you're doing one kind of an activity to help you attend may be very different than another. So, for instance, for me, if I'm doing a task that I'm very familiar with and I do it often, I don't have to be quite so hyper-attentive to it. But if I'm doing something new where I'm writing a report and I really need to think and listen, then I don't want my radio on while I'm doing my work, but other times I do, and that's the piece that gets so tricky and I think drives our families crazy when they're trying to figure out how to help to support their children. So I think knowing that it is going to be a different formula for different kinds of tasks that you're doing just can be a comfort to families that way.
That's awesome. And we're going to take a break and come back for our last segment, and this is the Learning Connection brought to you by the Weinberg Academy.
Touch is where some say fidgeting's now okay. Click and tap and wiggle your pen. How good it feels when the rhythm kicks in. Five
this
ways.
We got five is WCBM.
You can do your part. You can make a difference.
You're probably familiar with the Patak School. Well, they've changed their name to the Weinberg Academy. They're still the place to call when you want to donate your used car or boat on a trailer while helping local children in need. So avoid strangers coming to your home. Call the Weinberg Academy. They'll pick up your vehicle for free and give you a tax-deductible receipt for your donation. Call 410-585-0311. That's 410-585-0311. Donate your vehicle to help the children of the Weinberg Academy. And listen to the Weinberg Academy's Learning Connection talk show on educational issues. That's Sunday evenings from 5 to 6 only on AM 680.
Make a child's future brighter. Help local children in need.
The Weinberg Academy thanks you.
Lorien Mount Airy is a senior living community designed for seniors who value their independence as well as their hard-earned retirement savings. Choosing the senior living community that best serves your needs is one of the most important decisions you will make. Here's what residents are saying about Lorien Mount Airy.
I lived by myself for 21 years and I was tired of it. So came down and looked at it and liked it and decided that this is where I wanted to be. There's lots going on every day. I like it very much.
I like this place. It's very friendly and everybody's very helpful and they get you settled in and you feel at home right away.
Lorien Mount Airy in the beautiful neighborhood of Wildwood Park invites you to tour their attractive state-of-the-art senior living community. To arrange a tour, call 301-829-6050. That's 301-829-6050.
It's very pleasant and clean. I like clean.
The best place to stay in Baltimore is the newly remodeled Hilton Pikesville. There you'll be greeted by friendly staff and a fresh new look. The business traveler can stay in touch with free high-speed wireless internet throughout the complex. Your in-room workspace provides a large work desk, phone with voicemail, data ports, and desk-level connections. Enjoy in-room coffee and tea, laundry services, and USA Today delivered to your door every morning. Unwind with cable TV, free HBO, and a great selection of pay-per-view movies. Hilton Honors customers earn points and upgrades with each visit. Newly remodeled ballrooms are able to accommodate large groups. Fountainside Restaurant and Lounge features weekend entertainment and a Sunday champagne brunch. Enjoy the health club, outdoor pool, gift shop, free parking and door-to-door transportation to BWI Airport and downtown Baltimore. Located just off 695 at exit 20 Reisterstown Road. For reservations, call the Hilton Pikesville, 410-653-1100, or online at hilton.com. The Hilton Pikesville.
Hi, this is Maggie, host of the Maggie Pascal Show. Be sure to join me Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Listen in as I converse with various authors and political pundits. Remember, that's live Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. on 680 a.m. WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now, more of the Learning Connection on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You can do your part. You can make a difference.
And welcome back to the Learning Connection, brought to you by the Weinberg Academy. And also, the Weinberg Academy has a school for children with learning differences, and they incorporate some of the strategies that we've been talking about into the daily routine of children. So if you have a child who has learning differences and needs a different kind of learning environment, give the Weinberg Academy a call. Also, I just wanted to mention a couple of things about homework and have you, Mary Sue and Sherry, chime in about that, because we have so many parents who are and children who are stressed over homework. They have a long day at school, and then they've got to come home and focus, even if they take a break. And so one of the strategies that I've recommended is that the child is permitted to do his or her homework in a different location, let's say for each subject. Like one time they're sitting in a beanbag chair, the next time they're sitting on a bar stool that turns, but they're up high because that changes and shifts the body. Different size pencils and pens, just changing the size of the grip can make a difference for a child. What are some of your strategies that you would recommend for parents with homework?
Well, it is such a hard thing for so many families, and it seems like we are having more and more stress about homework as our lives are busier and busier. So the main thing I think is that that we emphasize anyway in the Alert Program materials is we've talked about all those different categories of mouth, move, touch, look, and listen, and seeing what's going to be a match to help to set that child up for the work that they're going to do. And so I think you're moving to different environments, I think, is an excellent thing. I think looking at what kind of heavy work activities we can do before we start our homework time, and certainly, I think making a lot of the homework activities have movement with them. For instance, if you're needing to do spelling words and have to practice spelling words, that when we do things that are rhythmical, it helps to hook in memory. So, for instance, if you could sit on a big ball and bounce while you're saying your spelling words and be bouncing, have one bounce to each letter. If you have a little mini tramp at home, if you have jumping jacks that the child could do while they're doing that. And I know they sound kind of silly, but those are the kind of things that really help the brain to kind of hook that information in there and get it in there in a solid way. And so if we can make those things fun, I think it helps to take some of the burden off of the homework situation.
Absolutely. And I don't want the show to end before we mention that the two of you will be coming to relatively the area, to Philadelphia, which is only about an hour and a half away from Baltimore, in October. What is the information that parents or teachers could find out about so they could come up and listen to the presentation?
Great. Well, we'll be in, as you said, in Philadelphia on October 24th and 25th, and they can go to the website at alertprogram.com, and there's all the information there on the conferences in the hotel. We're going to be at a hotel right by the stadiums down in downtown Philadelphia area. And then in 2009, we're hoping to get back down to the Baltimore area again.
Great.
Here for our two-day workshop.
I'll do my best, Sherry.
That's right. Ida will help us out with that.
I tell you.
A number of wonderful resources in your area, even just the different private schools that you all have and a lot of the children's hospitals and tons of wonderful clinicians in your area. So it's always exciting for us to get to come to Baltimore, and I do love to eat crabs. So.
All right.
Every so often.
When you talk about the workshop, what is the gist of the workshop for people listening? What are you going to be speaking about, or what can parents or teachers hear about?
Well, the great thing, I think, about our workshop is that it's very friendly, whether you already know about self-regulation information and are already a therapist, or if you're new to the information, because one of the things that we believe in very strongly is to do experiential learning, because that's our thing.
That's it.
Therapists, you know, and for so many of us, we do learn better, and once we feel it on our body, we'll believe it a whole lot more, you know.
That's
and
right.
So the workshop's set up to do some of the basic, very basic brain theory. We like to tease that there's lots of folks that are much better at explaining complicated pieces of brain theory than we are. But what we want to do is get down to the nitty-gritty of, okay, but my child's doing this, what should I do?
Good.
And that's hopefully what we get to accomplish. So we have some theory time, we have some hands-on activities time, we do some songs and some movement breaks throughout the 2 days together, and basically go through how to teach children the whole program from the Leader's Guide is the required text for that workshop. But there's certainly you can learn, and many people, you don't have to attend the workshop to find the Leader's Guide helpful. We wrote it to be very user-friendly, and many parents have certainly used that information. But I do also like to say about the Take 5 book is a great parent book in that it just talks about these are things you could do that are heavy work activities. And especially a lot of them we designed for learning stations, that lots of our teachers in our classrooms had learning stations or learning centers for their students. And once we give the theory away and have folks understand about the benefits of heavy work, then they come up with all kinds of wonderful ways to and activities to reinforce that information. I like to tease it. I'm never going to be smart enough to think of every activity for every child, so we got to get the kids knowing what works for them.
Right, right. And that is such a helpful book for parents, the Take 5 book. It's
right.
Like you don't have to create it. It's already been created and by you. And, you know, so parents can get the book and they have ideas right there and they can try them out. So it's, you know, it takes a lot of stress away from the parents thinking, okay, now I understand about self-regulation. I know my child really needs some help. So what do I do? Well, there's opportunities and activities listed right there. I also wanted to ask Ida to explain again, Diana Henry is also coming to the area very soon.
Mm-hmm. Diana Henry, just like Sherry and Mary Sue, is an OT with a very wonderful reputation, and I'm sponsoring two of her workshops. One is the 2-day sensory toolkit, which is on June 3rd and 4th, and which gives an overall about sensory integration issues and techniques to help with kids. And on June 5th is going to be a special workshop called SI Tools for Preteens and Teens, which is a really important, as Sherry and Mary Sue know, is a very important group of people who need a lot of help with sensory integration. So if you're interested in registering or finding out more about it, just visit my website at sensorystreet.com. It is a website under construction, but it does have all the information you need for those workshops.
And Mary Sue and Sherry, we have about 3 more minutes left, so give us some wisdom.
Wisdom.
Well, no pressure.
I would say the wisdom, having grown up in a family who has a child with special needs, I have a brother with Down syndrome who's now a very functional, wonderful adult in the world and very happy with his life, is that what seems to be the most important for us in families is that we want our family members to be happy. We want them to have friends and feel like productive members of society in whatever way they're able to contribute. And I hope that as we think about all these sensory strategies to support students, that that's what we're looking to do. That I had a wonderful opportunity with a dad in a meeting one time in the schools, and he said to me, I finally know what you mean. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you know, I realized for my son, and he had a young son who had some attention deficit hyperactivity challenges, and he said, I know now that when I need to talk to him and I need him to hear me and understand that we go outside and we stack firewood. And I thought, oh, that's what I live for, is when
when they get it.
Because I don't want to say to a parent, go stack some firewood with your child. They'll be looking at me, that's crazy. What I want them to know is what they need to do, and then have it become a functional part of family life, that families have way big enough jobs of being families and don't need to be the therapists. But if we can find these really nice, subtle ways that fit in daily life to support them, that's what we want to do.
That's awesome. And again, just www.alertprogram.com is where listeners can find more information about Mary Sue Williams and Sherry Schellenberger's program, the ALERT program. And again, it's not just for children with sensory integration issues. It helps with children who have attentional issues, certain behavioral issues, any child that just is needs some help, kind of what I always say, kind of getting glued together. So we thank you so much for being on, and I'll see you in Albuquerque. Come on down.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it was terrific. And thanks so much again. We really appreciate you calling in and being on the air with us and with our listeners. And so, Ida, I have to thank you again.
Thank you.
And again, you've just given information, and I wish you good luck with the Diana Henry conference. Unfortunately,
thanks.
I'm not going to be able to be there, but for a good reason. My daughter's getting married that week.
All right.
So that's always exciting and happy times.
Wonderful.
So thank you all for listening. Brian Kaplan will be back next week. And it's, again, sponsored by the Weinberg Academy. It's been the Learning Connection.
Have a great week.